B-Pod Studios.
Dateline Bucksport, Maine. A cigar-smoking domestic servant named Sarah Ware was beaten to death a century ago, and for most of that time, her skull and fragments of her vertebra have been in a courthouse evidence room. Now her remains have been buried to commemorate Ware's unsolved slaying. On the phone with us right now is Jean Hay, an editor of the weekly newspaper, The Enterprise. Hi, Jean.
Hi there.
Thanks for coming on the show.
No problem.
Tell us about Sarah Ware. What was her deal? What happened to her?
Well, Sarah Ware was 52 years old when she was last seen alive on September 17, 1898. And I think she was pulling some strings to get us to do some stories on her.
What, her ghost?
I believe so.
Uh-huh.
I'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, she was last seen alive on September 17th, 100 years ago, and 2 weeks and a day later, her body was found. It was rather ripe, as we say.
Right.
And when they lifted it to move it, her head fell off. And her brother-in-law, who happened to be the local funeral director, took the head as evidence, cleaned it up, and kept it for the inquest.
Was the brother-in-law at any time a suspect?
Not the brother-in-law, no.
Okay. But the brother-in-law cleaned it up. They were going to use it as evidence in the case. First of all, before we go any further, was Sarah Ware, it says here, a cigar-smoking domestic servant, a black woman?
No. She was from Cape Breton.
Why would you automatically assume that, Stan?
Well, cigar-smoking domestic servant, that word servant, 100 years ago, it might mean a black woman.
Not in Maine.
Okay.
Not in Maine. She was a widow who had separated from her husband before her husband had died 5 years before she died.
Okay.
And she was living with an elderly woman, Mrs. Miles, on Miles Lane. And Mrs. Miles became concerned when she didn't return after... She was known to go off on occasion and disappear for a day or two.
We've all known people like that.
Sure, a little bender.
Right, but she always turned up. And
okay.
After a while, Mrs. Miles got quite concerned and asked the local people to find out if they knew anything about where she might have gone and when she might be coming back. And when the sheriff found out 2 weeks later that she had not been found, he immediately launched a search party of the woods, and 2 days later they did find her body.
Well, nice to see that he sprang into action.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now,
well, he didn't know about it, so you can't blame him.
Now, the amazing thing about this, about 15 years or so, I guess somebody at the courthouse was going through some old paperwork, and lo and behold, a skull and a vertebra fragments show up, and this is, of course, what the remains of Sarah.
Right. They were used in evidence at a trial. A man, William Treworgy, was brought to trial in 1902. And after a week-long trial and 16 and a half hours of deliberations, the jury acquitted him of that. And they never charged anyone else in the case. And her skull, jawbone, and vertebrae were kept in a handmade wooden box in the evidence room in the Hancock County Courthouse in Ellsworth, Maine. That part of the courthouse being fireproofed survived a disastrous 1933 fire that burned down most of the rest of the town. And I was working at another paper in 1982 when they discovered this prize in an unused cubbyhole. In fact, it was sealed. They were looking for something else. An auditor had been looking for a ledger, an old ledger, and he said, I know it's around here someplace. They looked everywhere. They said the only place it could possibly be is here, but this is all sealed up. They got a janitor to pry it open. They found this handmade wooden box. It's a lovely box, and inside they found this skull that it still had an evidence tag on it.
That'll give you the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
The clerks were rather taken aback, shall we say. Now, I was a newspaper reporter for another paper at that time and wrote the story in 1982 in the same month of the 80th anniversary of the trial.
Uh-huh.
I left that paper shortly thereafter, and only this summer went back into that area working on another paper in the town, town where she was...
What was your reason for leaving the paper?
Right.
Personal reasons. I went on to become a commercial organic farmer. But
all right. That's a whole other
story. That's another different story.
I just always think of the questions on the forum, reason for leaving.
Right. But back to this.
You began working at the newspaper, and you brought up the question, what's the deal with the Sarah Ware's head?
Well, see, that's where I think Sarah was pulling some strings, because I'd worked on this story in 1982. I joined this paper this summer to help out the editor, whom I've known a long time. And I had this old clip in my file, and, you know, thinking about stories to do for the paper, I said, this is a natural. She's got a 100th anniversary coming up. The editor of the paper, who had grown up in the area, was certainly aware of this. In fact, in her high school days, she had written an article for an English class and had interviewed the son or grandson of the defense attorney and wrote in 1964 in that paper that the head was still in Ellsworth at the courthouse. There is another woman on the paper in the advertising department who also had a personal interest, just a personal interest in this, and wanted the paper to do something to commemorate the anniversary, the 100th anniversary. So I called up the courthouse, and thinking that in the interim 14 years, I knew that there had been people saying that they would make sure that she got put back together again. And I called up the courthouse and talked to the clerks whom I've known since back then and said, you know, whatever happened to Sarah Ware? And the response was, oh, she's still here, which surprised the heck out of me because I thought for sure that someone had taken care of this in my absence. And
so for 100 years, that stuff has been sitting at the courthouse. And now on the 100th anniversary, just approaching, you finally, put the head back with the body?
Yes, I got real obstinate at that point and said, okay, what do we need to do to get that out of there? Well, it's evidence, and you have to get a court order to release it. Right, so I checked with the local funeral director who said, sure, I'm perfectly willing to do this as a public service. In fact, two other people approached me in the last 10 years, and I told them that I would be perfectly willing to do this as a public service, and I never heard back. So I was determined that we were going to do it this time around. I wrote a letter to the judge who would be sitting in that court the following week, and within 3 days, she checked out the legalities and signed an order releasing the remains to this local funeral home. It's Mitchell Tweedy, and Ed McGuire is in charge of it, and he has been terrific in all this, and so was the judge for doing what nobody else had done in the last
now,
years.
Now, the question I have, I mean, it's great that you championed this cause, but the fact still remains, this is an unsolved murder.
Right.
Why was the man that was acquitted, why was he a suspect?
There was a fellow named Joe Fogg Jr. who pointed the finger at him and said that he had helped Bill Treeworthy move a body from down on the behind a stone wall up the lane and into the woods where the body was found.
Mm-hmm. How was she killed?
A blow to the head, and there were some people who said that the dents on her skull matched a hammer found at Treeworthy's. Joe Fogg recanted his testimony a day later. And then he found out what the perjury charges were in a capital case and recanted his recantation. And the first grand jury didn't indict Treeworthy. The different grand jury, different people sitting, did indict Treeworthy 3 years later.
So what was the supposed motive?
The motive for him was believed to be either love gone wrong or that he owed her some money and she was trying to get it back and he maybe hit her. Another version is that him or somebody else, they were having a little love spat, shall we say, in the woods, and it was a trice gone wrong. The third rumor is that she got in the way of a drunken brawl at Mrs. Miles' house and landed a blow meant for somebody else. And all through this, in all the old...
So that would mean Mrs. Miles was in on it too then, huh?
She may have been aware of what happened, but the body disappeared and didn't show up. And Treeworthy kept saying that it was the white shirts in town. And there was a strong belief that he was hired to move the body, but that he didn't actually do the murder himself and that he wasn't talking. He was just saying that other people killed her.
Did you get a chance to look at the bones and all that stuff?
I put the clerk... The clerk would not pull them out of the box. To take pictures of it, I had to...
Very well preserved?
Well, it's
just bones, right?
It's just bones. It was cleaned up. He put it in some solution to take off the what was left of the flesh.
You're saying you climbed in the casket?
No, the body was... The other part of the body was not exhumed.
Okay.
The hole was... It was put in a small vault about a third of the size of a casket, and they dug down until they hit the wood of the casket and then put the vault
just
on top of it.
Tossed the head down in there.
Yeah. No. It was very, very respectful.
I'm sure it was.
But I guess probably for the best not to, you know, been down there a while and...
Yeah.
And this case will never be solved now, but she's finally put to rest, correct?
Yes. We were hoping that somebody would find a deathbed confession to somebody at some point, but nothing has come forward. And, of course, this happened 100 years ago, you know, so chances are the person who killed her is also well dead.
Right.
You've obviously done a lot of thinking about this, and obviously it's important to you, but, you know, a lot of places, a 100-year-old grave, they don't know who's there, whatever, you know, and they can make some money off it, they'll move it.
Not in Bucksport. It's a very old and historic cemetery. In fact, the funeral director said it's the second time in the last 26 years that he has had a funeral at that particular cemetery. It's very small. It's 2 acres.
And very old.
And very old. And the most recent person to die was 26 years ago, right when he became a funeral director in town. And this is a grave that was opened up for somebody else.
So they
very old headstones.
Did they put her next to the husband?
I don't believe so, although it looks like there are some relatives, her brother-in-law and his wife and that kind. There is a section on the wares, but I didn't see his name there at all. I'm not sure where he's buried.
Let's hope everybody's happy and she'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
I think Sarah is pleased.
Well, that's good. Gene, hey, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for your interest.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
That's Gene Hay from Bucksport's paper, The Enterprise.
Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force. You are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since the Nazi triumphs of 1940-41. The United Nations have inflicted upon the Germans great defeats in open battle, man-to-man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given us an overwhelming superiority in weapons and munitions of war and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory. Good luck, and let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to tune your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Stan and Haney, on all afternoon. local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws ties and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
Southwest Florida, you've stuck with us through thick and thin, feast and famine, war and peace, and everything in between. Don't think for a minute that we don't appreciate it. No matter how we might come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. You know, while that intro was going, I didn't realize it. But the way the microphone was angled, I could hear myself heavy breathing in it.
Well, how did it sound? You sound good?
I clear lungs, for good. The most part. Clear good. Lungs. I have to...
You know, there's a certain kind of lady that finds that attractive.
You clear lungs?
No, heavy breathing.
Heavy breathing. Yeah. As long as I'm still breathing. That's the key.
Well, of course.
And, you know, on certain days, I get a mite wheezy. It could be sinus congestion. Could be, you know.
Post-nasal drip.
Post-nasal drip. My lungs constricting from smoking.
They don't constrict, do they? I thought they just killed off parts of the lung.
That's why when they used to sell Primatene Mist,
yeah,
they don't sell that anymore because it's really dangerous. But it helps expand... breathing areas in the lungs.
Oh, so it was just for smokers?
No, but if you were a smoker, it worked. What the other thing that it did is pick up your pulse rate. And I don't think that's good for anybody, say, over the age of 50. You take the Primatene Mist, you feel the breath of relief.
Is that what they call it, the breath of
something
relief?
Something like that. Remember,
I'm telling you, you should be in advertising.
Oh! I want that. You know what job I wanted? Was the job that Darren Stevens had on Bewitched. Come up with a slogan. Mm-hmm. Come up with an ad campaign.
The breath of relief. Yeah. I love that. I would buy that without even knowing what it is.
But you remember when they had the Primatene Mist, completely illegal now, they would have the outline of the body and the air going into the lungs.
Yeah, and then there'd be...
And then it expanded.
And part of it would be red... And then Primatene Mist would hit it, and it would go white.
Yes, and open up. They took that off the market. I remember when they said they were taking it off, I stocked up. I got like a case of it.
Good for you, because it never goes bad, does it? Medicines don't go bad, do they?
I don't know. It's sealed, aerosoled, so you know. But it's long gone. I have to say this. I don't want to get into a long discussion about it. But
you
I,
never have.
No. I like keeping things short and sweet. For the most part. The fake media. Let me just, I made an observation this morning. Because I get up when my girlfriend gets up, and that's earlier than before I met her that I would get up. Now, you know I get up early.
Yeah, insanely early now, from my perspective.
Most people would say average. Yeah, crack of noon. But for me, it's average.
Well, noon
time.
Is early for me.
Yeah, I know. So, I was up at, I normally would get up about 7:30. With her living with me now, it's well, I have to.
She's marrying you, yeah, so I know. I mean, yeah, it's not her living with you. Yeah, well, it's inconveniencing you.
Well, it does a little bit, but
because I mean, if that's an issue, we should bring it up now.
No, and she knows it's not an issue. I'll get up anytime she needs me to get up, but it's 6:15 now.
Oh,
see what I mean? But she always says, stay in bed. You can stay in bed. But
oh, they always say that. But I
have to get up.
A woman preparing for her day that says, oh, you just go ahead. You stay asleep, honey. It's a nice sentiment. They have no idea the noises that they make.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're unknown. By the way, and before I say it, talk about fake media. Somebody just sent a text. We've missed, M-I-S-T, you. Primatine Mist is back.
Oh, great.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to stock up.
You pick me up some, too, will you?
So, at any rate, so I'm up and I'm watching just a spectacular moving ceremony at Normandy this morning. It was very special.
It's very easy to do. And I mean, just no narration, no music, just drone footage of that cemetery with those 9,000 crosses. That's enough for me. I mean, that brings it home right there.
I'm going to tell you about fake media. Even when something great is happening, they can't help themselves. And I'm even addressing the Trump haters out there. You've got to admit that this was ridiculous. So in the morning, we usually put on the local news, and then after the local news starts in the network morning programs start, I switch over to Fox and Friends. But this morning was the Normandy stuff commemorating D-Day. And Trump spoke, and French President Macron spoke. And Trump gave a beautiful speech. Now, behind him were the veterans. I think they said 60 of them made the trip, some of them for the very first time. Others have come every year, but they were behind Trump, and they were sitting behind him, like 2-3 deep.
Mm-hmm.
And an amazing thing happened. When President Trump finished and Macron was done, Marcon, they went and...
Well, what did his mommy tell him? That he was... That you're done now.
Yes,
come on.
Yeah. They then went and greeted each and every survivor that was there. Some of them in wheelchairs. Some of them getting out of their wheelchairs to shake the president's hand. And the response President Trump got from these veterans of the Great War, or, well, the war to end all wars. No, that was World War.
World War One was the Great War. Yeah, World War Two was the war to end all wars.
I thought World War One was the war to end all wars.
So World War One gets all the titles?
Yeah, I think so. The World War Two was the big one, WW2. So, and I'll tell you the network, too, CBS. The CBS announcers could not help but take notice of this. That these veterans were standing up wanting to hug the president, have pictures taken with Trump, getting out of their wheelchairs just to shake his hand. And you could just see the mutual admiration that both the veteran and the president had. And this is when I had to switch the channel. The announcer couldn't say anything bad. He goes, "That was a very impressive speech by the president. He is acting very presidential this morning, this afternoon over in France. And the veterans want to greet the president. They, too, recognize he was very presidential today, and they're showing their appreciation for that." And I'm like, what? They're showing their appreciation because today he acted presidential. You lying pieces of crud. They love that man.
Oh, yeah.
But the only reason why the veterans were so eager to shake his hand was because this day he was acting very presidential. Shut the F up. I switched the channel right off the bat.
Is that indicative of the clip that I saw where it was a D-Day veteran from Pennsylvania who said, "We've got an awful lot of people voting for you back home in Pennsylvania, yeah, Mr. President."
They don't have that. No, they were, the only reason they greeted him was that they were appreciative that on that day, D-Day anniversary, he acted presidential.
It couldn't have anything to do with the fact that he's trying to emphasize the value that these men actually recognize.
No, it's that he bucked up and tried to act presidential. I couldn't take it.
Presidential was that you have to be a woman. A woman of color who's queer.
We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon. It's a Thursday. That means, we're going to do the grab bag here in just a second.
Don't worry about it, Stan. I'm very crappy to be here.
Okay.
Whatever.
Hour from now, we'll play What's on the List. Later on today, our question of the week. I want to talk for a second to you anglers out there, you people that love a little time on the water.
What, Anglos?
Anglers!
It's all right, man. I know you're not racist. You got lots of white friends.
Yeah. 96K Rock invites you to participate in the annual Coastal Outfitters Cat Daddy Challenge. We've done these before in the past and have been a part of it, and you get guys and gals from all over Southwest Florida get their boats out there with their team and go after catfish. And you say, go after catfish. One, we thank you for getting the endless supply out of the water.
They're everywhere.
Two,
anywhere there are fish, there are catfish.
Two, we want you to catch as many as you can. And also, we're talking about weight. Now, it's going to happen at Port Sanibel Marina on June 15th. That's a Saturday, where most of you are on the water anyway. And they'll be giving away $5,000 in prizes. You got to register for this thing. Get your team together. Get your boat. You know, you're going to be out on the water anyway on Saturday. Why not participate in this and get registered and signed up for it? And then maybe walk away with some great stuff. Registration is going to end at 8 p.m. on June the 14th. Captain's party is going to be at Fathoms in Cape Coral on Friday, 6 p.m. Give you all the rules and what you got to do and all of that. Go to 96krock.com. Registration is now open, and take advantage of this. I'll tell you, it's a lot of fun. I think they feed you, and you can win some prizes, and you get the bragging rights. Let's do the grab bag, brought to you by the Pewter Mug North. Like to welcome a new sponsor to the show, our friends at Mouth Bristle.
Hi, I'm Wendell, CEO of MouthBristle.com, the makers of top-quality, custom-fit toothbrushes. Mouths come in all different sizes, so why are toothbrushes all the same size? At Mouth Bristle, we offer custom-fit toothbrushes that were raised free-range and are safe for the environment. Just download the Mouth Bristle app and shove your phone in your mouth. Within days, you'll have a toothbrush that the apartment guide called perfect for scrubbing toilets. Plus, each month, you'll receive a replacement pack of 100% naturally renewable bristles made from the pubes of sea urchins. So try the official toothbrush of the American Vaping Association and at least one meth dealer. Try mouthbristle.com. Enjoy.
Welcome aboard.
Now, you're wondering what that is? That's what I hear when you watch those late night commercials.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing.
Me, I'm thinking, how can this improve my life?
Yeah. That's a big part of my life, what you heard right there, because that's what I hear from most things.
Yep. You're stuck in traffic. What do you do? Well, this past Saturday, a guy in Montana was stuck in traffic. Nobody's moving. He decided to get out of his car and play the bagpipes.
Great. Outstanding.
I love this. I love it.
Everybody does.
I'm telling you, if I was in bumper-to-bumper traffic and and I see some guy come out playing bagpipes, all right.
I love the bagpipes.
Yeah, they're a beautiful thing. Did you see the footage of that Arizona hiker having to be helicoptered out?
No, not that one. I don't think so.
And they had him on the stretcher, and they're hoisting him up on the helicopter, and the thing starts spinning. Oh, my God. He was 74 years old, a hiker, 74.
He was. he was
he
74.
Is, he is. This happened on Tuesday. On the way up, the stretcher, it's a she, a 74-year-old she. On the way up, she...
She's got no... What's she doing up there anyway?
She started spinning. Look at the footage here. This is amazing. So they're trying to lift her, and then hell breaks loose.
Yep.
With turbulence, she was spinning 175 times in a couple of minutes. And they thought for sure she was going to pass out.
Oh, got the spin. I got to let him back down. Try to get that under control. That's not good.
That's not good.
By now.
Uh-oh.
They're going to try to... There you go. They'll slow that down. They're just going to fly off with him and go to the LZ. I hate to see that. Oh, my gosh. That's not good.
Look.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm not talking about just turning a little bit.
She's pulling G's.
A propeller spin. And she's 74.
She's spinning faster than the propeller on the helicopter. She's spinning faster than the rotors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they just took her away.
What are you going to do? Let's just get her there quick.
Leave me on the ground.
Got the spin. I got to let him back down. Try to get that under control. That's not good. Definitely
not
passed
good.
Out by now. They're going to try to... There you go. They'll slow that down.
Are you?
They're just going to fly off with him and go to the LZ.
Are you going to slow it down?
I hate to see that. Oh, my gosh.
Are you slowing it down? Are you? She was pulling G's.
I know that. They thought for sure she had passed out.
I mean, I would love to see a measurement.
She's finally getting to the crew, the ambulance crew.
Oh, she's still spinning in her head.
Oh, you know it.
I wonder if there's a way they can figure out how many G's she pulled.
Well, all I know is they said that they were talking that it was 175 times she spun around in a couple of minutes.
Well, it's not the number. It's
the force.
The intensity.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yeah. Zoom, 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 zoom. Haney, what video game is this? I'll tell you what it is and how it's inappropriate.
I don't know. You're asking me about a video game. It sounds like it came out when I was a child.
I turned 35 today. Tetris. Turned 35 today. It's been on more gaming platforms than any other game in history. This is the theme music. This is wrong. The theme is a Russian folk tune from the 1800s. That's where they got it from.
Well, yeah, it's a Russian game.
And the lyrics are about a peddler who seduces a young peasant girl.
So? So what?
It's inappropriate.
Oh, shut up.
Inappropriate.
I am so tired of that word.
I know.
I'm problematic.
You are problematic.
What are you?
Problematic. Well, to them.
Copycat.
Problematic.
I think I'm problematic. You're inappropriate.
I love this guy. He's from North Carolina. He's 66 years old and just won the Powerball jackpot for $345 million. Let's see what this guy's like.
Good job,
bud. We always give her the fortune cookie. And I said, save the fortunes for me, and I look at the numbers on the back of them. I want to play them, and that's where they came from. I didn't even know it this morning. I didn't look at the tickets, and I don't have the TV, the news to tell me. I got back in there and looked, and I said, dang, I got them all. I don't know what to do with most of it. I hope it don't change me a lot, and I'm going to try not to change my life. Like I said, I'm still going to wear my jeans, maybe newer ones. Me and my brother had a deal to give each other $1 million if we won the lottery, the big, you know, and I called him a while ago when I got here. I said, are you ready to be a millionaire? He said, but I'm your only brother. Can't you give me $2 million?
This is great. What I'm about to play for you is great. A old World War II vet wrote a song about D-Day called The Shores of Normandy. And for the last few days, it has been Amazon's top-selling single in the UK. It is a hit in the UK. His name is Jim Radford. He was only 15 when he served on a British ship. He is the youngest known participant in the landings on D-Day. He's 90. Wrote this song, and in Great Britain and the UK, it's a hit.
As the years pass by, I can still recall the men I saw that day who died upon that blood-soaked sand where now sweet children play. And those of you who were unborn, who've lived in liberty, remember those who made it so on the shores of Normandy.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
You talked about it yesterday, the 97-year-old guy that parachuted.
Yeah. You know what I think the main thing is, hearing that song and all the talk about D-Day, these were not selfish men.
No. They were young.
And, you know, you think about people running around with, you know, purple hair, screaming at people that you must accept me.
Yeah.
Selfishness didn't get that job done.
No, sir. Here's the guy you were talking about. 97-year-old, World War II vet. He's from San Diego. Parachuted into Normandy, France yesterday, 75 years after he did it the first time on D-Day in 1944. He did the tandem jump with 200 other people as part of the anniversary celebrations.
And went for the same mark
that
he did on D-Day.
He said he did it to honor those who were there that day. Here he is, 97 years old.
It's amazing. He said the same field of wildflowers.
Okay, sir?
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful drive, beautiful jump, beautiful flight. Everything was perfect.
I honor those who didn't come back, who were wounded, who walked away from it, who were deceased. Those are the guys that are the heroes.
Phenomenal. this is a 180. Pete Rose.
Peter Edward Rose, one of the greatest ball players, living or dead, of all time.
Here.
You cannot deny that. Charlie Hustle.
Oh, with, as a ball player, yes. As a human being. Pete Rose just did a recent interview about his memories of Jolton Joe DiMaggio.
And there was really only one memory.
Yes! So Pete Rose is talking about his memories of Joe DiMaggio. Here's Pete Rose.
We're down in, as you may not know, South Vietnam is a jungle. So the only way you could take a shower there is a guy had to get up on a chair, me, have a bucket of water, pour it into this canvas
pull it
thing,
over his head.
Pull the chain, and the guy underneath took a shower. I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower. Now, the best way to describe Joe DiMaggio is he was a penis with a man hanging from it.
Yeah, now I understand his love affair with Marilyn.
Really? Yes, we have a much better understanding now, don't we?
Yeah.
He was Mr. Coffee.
He sure was. He was Mr. Java Jones. Police have released the 911 call from the night Jesse Smollett alleged his attack.
God, this is...
Here you go.
Pathetic.
What's going on? I just need a police to come by. I work with an artist.
An artist?
Yeah.
What kind of artist?
He went to
BS artist.
Subway. He was walking by some guys. I don't know, they jumped him or something like that. And I just want to report it and make sure he's all right.
Does your friend need an ambulance?
No, because it's a fake event.
What's really weird, man, just because I'm scared. I don't know what it is. They put a noose around his neck.
Oh, my God.
You know, they didn't do anything with it, but it's around his neck. That's really f***ed up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
How tight was it?
Okay, and this is a well-known person?
Yes.
No, he's not.
Very well-known.
Okay, thank you.
Nobody knew who he was until that happened.
That's why he did it.
Yeah.
I like
that's some really sick thinking.
Yeah, of course it is. I like this, though. The Ballad of the Lonesome Cowboy. That's going to be the theme music for the Toy Story 4 movie.
From your album?
No.
Congratulations.
Written by the great.
Wasn't that your record?
Lonesome Cowboy, yes.
Did they steal it from you?
This is the Ballad of the Lonesome Cowboy.
Oh, I see.
Written by Randy Newman, who has written a lot of great songs.
And the Toy Story
as well. It's sung by Chris Stapleton. Yes, and it's great. Here's a little sample of the Ballad of the Lonesome Cowboy.
I was a lonesome cowboy, lonesome as I could be. You came along, changed my life, fixed what was broken in me. I was a lonesome cowboy. I didn't have.
I like it.
Yeah.
Now I got friends coming out of my ears. I'll never be lonesome again.
Haney, when we come back, we'll open up the phones, give you a chance to win something. But you were even doing it the other day. Songs that we think we know the lyrics to.
Mm-hmm.
And we substitute another word for it. I've got a story of a famous song by one of our favorite bands and famous songwriters who everybody misinterpreted what he was saying. And instead of basically trying to correct them, he just said, F it, sing it the way you want it.
Yeah, well, sometimes you have to.
This is an amazing story about a song everybody knows, We've played it many times on the show. I will give you the real story of this song and what the artist who created the song intended.
You know, that has happened to me. You know, me and Tommy had our band years ago, and a lot of it was songs that I had written. And one of my songs was called I Wasn't Lying. But when you sing the words, you know, things get drawn out and stuff, and if people don't know the lyrics, been playing this song for years. And it was, I forget what it was, but we've been playing for a long time. And Tommy goes, okay, what do you want to start with? I go, how about I Wasn't Lying? He goes, I don't know that one. I go, you play it every night. He goes, give me a couple of notes of it. So I go, da, 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 da. He says, oh, I always thought you were saying I wasn't alive. So, yeah. I can see that happening.
This song, you know, it's just one word. And people have been saying it wrong. But the writer and performer of the song said, okay.
There's nothing I can do about
nothing
it.
Nothing I can do about it.
She's got electric boobs.
Yeah, kind of like that. I'll tell you the story when we come
back. There's a bathroom on the right.
Stan and Haney.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
Yeah, this one, just one word. Stan and Haney.
A lot of people ask us how the hell we've managed to stay on the air for so damn long. Well, there's a bunch of reasons, but here's two of them. Our guardian angel wears a hard hat, and Father Pete had to call in a few favors. Without that, we'd have been gone in 1998, and that's the truth. Stan and Haney on 96K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney coming up in about 30 minutes. Stan's What's on the List? Chance to pick up some really nice prizes, including Alice Cooper, SeaWorld, a bunch of other things, some great food. Question of the week later on today.
Stan.
What?
I hate to do this to you.
What?
But I know you're a compassionate man. I've had an earworm for about 18 hours.
Well, go ahead, and then I'm going to tell you about a song that you're going to get an earworm for.
It'll only take 2.5 minutes, but it will cure me.
Roll them.
Because it hasn't stopped.
Go.
It's on a loop.
Make it happen. Love it.
That I know just came from Colombia. She smiled because I did not understand. Then she held out some marijuana. She said it was the best in all the land. And I said, no, 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 I don't smoke it no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please, it only makes me sneeze. Then it makes it hard to find a door. Came from Mallorca, Spain. She smiled because I did not understand. Then she held out a 10-pound bag of cocaine. She said it was the finest in the land. And I said, no, 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 I don't, no more. I'm tired of waking up on the floor. No, thank you, please, it only makes me sneeze. Then it makes it hard to find the door.
And I was a small child that had no idea what he was talking about. I just liked
just
that he said, no, 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 no,
yep.
No, 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 no.
It just has a nice sound.
Yep.
A man I know just came from Nashville, Tennessee, oh. He smiled because I did not understand. Then he held out some moonshine whiskey, oh.
Ah.
He said it was the best in all the land.
And he was-
I don't drink it no more. I'm
tired of waking up on the floor.
No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze. And then it makes it hard to find the door. Well, I said, no, 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 I can't.
You can imagine how I've been suffering with this in my head.
What's it in your head?
No, thank you, please. It only makes me sneeze. And then it makes it hard to find the door.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. let me throw this one at you. And this is the first time I've ever known it. You've probably listened to the Electric Light Orchestra's top five 1979 hit, Don't Bring Me Down.
Mm-hmm.
And thought, so, who's Bruce?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Bruce? After all, the singer-songwriter Jeff Lynne calls out his name right after the song's title.
Don't bring me down, Bruce. What the hell is that?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, that was a Japanese woman that somehow popped up in my feed.
Yeah.
No, I have ELO at the ready.
So, who's Bruce?
Yeah, we've been singing it for years.
But there was no Bruce. Lynn used to make up a placekeeper word when the song was still unfinished. And so he came up with a word.
I had to get the proper one.
Okay, thank you. There is no Bruce. Lynn used a makeup placekeeper word when the song was still unfinished, only learning later that it perhaps had an actual translation in another language. When I was singing it, there was a gap in the vocals, so I just shouted out the word Gruse, Gruse, G-R-O-O-S-E. Lynn told this to Rolling Stone magazine. It was a word that just came into my head. Lynn did more than ad-lib this one line in the song. In fact, he improvised the entire song. I made it up. Don't Bring Me Down was made up in the studio. I play all the instruments on the song. It starts with a drum loop from another song called On the Run from the same album, Discovery. He said, I sped it up, then I compressed the crap out of it. He used the other word. As usual, Lynn didn't present the lyrics until the end. Everything else, even some of the background singing, was typically recorded before he came up with the lead vocal, which was the last thing he added to the song. The engineer was a German man, he said. And the German engineer came to him and said, how did you know that word? Lynn said, what word? And he said, Gruß. He said, don't you know that means greetings in German? I said, well, then that's good. I'll leave it in. By the time ELO got out on the road to support the album Discovery, a new phenomenon was sweeping through the audience. He said, when I got on stage, everyone would sing Bruce. At first, Lynn stuck to his guns, singing his once thought invented word, now maybe a German word, and would ignore them. He said eventually he had to cave. He said, aw, F it. I'll sing Bruce as well. And so he's not saying Bruce in the song.
Gruce.
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 Yep. Which he made up, but the engineer said that's a German word for greetings.
We've been saying Bruce
forever.
Since the 70s.
Yep. You got me shaking, got me running away.
I may have gone all the way to the end.
Yeah, you may have. And that drumming came from another song on the album.
So he ad-libbed this?
Yeah. He said he ad-libbed the whole song.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
But this is a 2012 version. Is he saying Bruce or Bruce?
Well, if you stick to what he says, he sings them both. Now.
Which is it?
Claims it's Bruce. There you go.
And what was the other one? On the Run?
Oh, yeah, that from the same album. Same drums, he said he just compressed it. You're looking good,
just like a snake in the grass. What album is it?
Discovery. Song is On the Run.
On the Run, here it is. Same drums.
Yeah, it just sped up and compressed.
I want this for vacation. That's a great vacation song.
Also, the first ELO album without strings. There's no strings in the album.
Huh. Guy's a genius.
Pure genius.
And all that time, it's like, I didn't picture just Jeff Lynne. I pictured like 25 guys working on this.
Just him.
Because it's the Electric Light Orchestra. I pictured he had an orchestra.
Well, he had his touring group, and he would travel early on with the orchestra. And he said
there's strings on that.
Yeah, no strings.
Yeah, there is. There was right there.
Created.
Oh, you mean real strings.
Real strings. He used to hire orchestras.
That sounds real to me.
Yeah, but it's not.
Yeah.
Same drums. Looped, he said.
See, that was a great time in music. Because we weren't judgmental about lyrics. They weren't important.
No.
Just give us something bouncy. Say whatever you want.
That's why America was so big. They didn't sing about anything.
Oh, yeah. It just sounded right.
Yep.
And you assume they knew more than you did.
Yep, but they didn't.
I must be dumb. I don't get it, but it's a toe-tapper.
That flows.
Yep.
Okay. All right, we're going to take a break. Stan's What's
That's
on the List.
That's a good song.
Yeah, it is.
I never had this album, did you?
I did not own Discovery.
Yeah, because Don't Bring Me Down seems to be the only hit off it.
79, though. Isn't Hold On Tight on that?
No.
Well, I know that was 79, 80.
There's only 9 tracks. Shine a Little Love, Confusion.
Oh, that was a hit.
Was it?
Shine a Little Love.
I don't remember that. Shine a Little Love.
Yeah, this was
Confusion, Need Her Love, Diary of Horace Wimp, Last Train to London, Midnight Blue, On the Run, Wishing, Don't Bring Me Down.
This was it. Get to the meat of it. We'll never stop. We got a good thing going on. I know you heard it all before, but I really need you now. Every day I need you more.
Okay.
There you go. See?
I never knew it was called that.
Yeah, that's a big hit.
Yeah, it was. So the first track and the last track were hits.
Yep.
Yes, obviously I remember this.
Mike Mingus. What?
Last Train to London was a hit, too.
Was
small
it? Train,
no, small hit, yeah.
Well, will I remember it?
Yeah, absolutely. Very bouncy. Come on. Spelled ELO.
Did you know that about Bruce?
I did not. No, that's very enlightening.
Did you think he was saying Bruce?
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
Everybody, he said that when they went on tour to promote the album, they were already saying it.
Yeah.
So it was a phenomenon.
I mean, we've misconstrued song lyrics for years. Yeah. Yeah. Starting with Louie Louie.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I remember this song.
Yeah.
And this was not...
This was a disco hit. This was actually a dance music hit.
And this
hit.
Wasn't long before they broke up.
Yeah, this was the dying days of the...
And he still made 2.5 hits out of the thing.
Come on.
Oh, yes. Come on. Yes, sir.
This is American Bandstand material. This time.
This is a lost one. It is, when you think of ELO's hits, you don't remember these.
But this was a charting hit.
Right. Well, you guys work on a lost ELO day. Lost ELO songs day. Okay?
Oh, I love to go back and find it because it's... It is always, it does something to your mind when you're going, I don't recall that. And then the music hits you and you go, oh, that one.
Well,
you think of all the songs that the three of us have consumed in the thousands of years we've been in radio. And it's not surprising that a few of them have, you know, slipped by.
You know, I would like to play hit makers with him.
He'd
and
beat
you.
Me.
He'd
beat
is
me.
An encyclopedia. I always.
I'm telling you right now, he'd beat me.
Haney and I talked about this the other day. Haney is an expert on probably more genres than I am. He's real good at blues and bluegrass and things like that, which I don't know a heck of a lot about. But when it comes to straight up rock and roll, I might be able to give Haney a run for his money.
I
don't
want to
brag. This is Mark Haney we're talking about here.
Just try it.
Well, one day.
Because I think the two of you would go back and forth and the game would not end.
It would be fun.
Oh, I mean, I'll do it, but I'll go into it saying, I think he can beat me.
He's an encyclopedia.
Well, we all know a little bit about rock and roll in this room. So.
I used to play the game with Haney and a listener.
Okay, let's try one.
Okay. I don't have headphones on, so.
What was... the band Sheriff's hit song.
Oh, you're killing me. Right off the bat. I don't know. You got me.
I never needed love.
There you go.
Like okay. I need you.
All right. Sorry.
See, I wouldn't have gotten that.
It's when I'm with you.
Oh, yeah. I thought there was a win in there somewhere.
Yeah, you started to say it and stopped yourself.
Yeah, well, I knew it was something like that.
Let's plan that for next week.
Okay. Absolutely. You guys are ready, I'm at your disposal.
Have the two of you sit down and we'll see.
Well, it could be a bloodbath.
I'm going to have the big book.
I hope it's a good book.
What we did, and it was the way that I used to do it back in the old days. Your choice. Do you want the song or the artist? Tell me the artist.
I would allow Matt.
You're smarter than Haney book. I don't trust
I would
book.
Allow Matt to pick it.
This is the actual Billboard book.
All right.
Yeah, you've noticed that about his smarter than Haney material?
That's a sketchy book.
The book is thrown out. We'll be back. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
If you or someone you know suffers from an addiction to bad radio, please go to stanandhaney.com for help. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Going to give you a chance to win. We'll play Stan's What's on the List. About 25 minutes away from your first look at traffic, news headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer, your email. Hour, 1 hour away from our question of the week. I just got new information on the Coastal Outfitters Cat Daddy Challenge. A little bit more information if you're on the fence, if you want to participate in this. It's June 14th and 15th. Friday the 14th is going to be the captain's meeting at Fathoms in Cape Harbor.
Well, 6 to 8 p.m. Dangerous.
Why?
Well, too many Chiefs, not enough Indians
exactly.
At that meeting.
Well, you know what? You got a team of four. Three are not the captain.
But then when you got a meeting and it's all captains,
yeah.
Who do they take
orders
from?
All the different
from?
Boats. And yeah.
Is there like an admiral
there
of,
be,
of the,
I
of the cat daddy?
I would hope there's somebody handling this. Keep them in different corners of the room.
I am a captain. Yeah. I will not be talked to in this manner.
Saturday, June the 15th, they're going to have the... You go out, catch catfish. Going to have the weigh-in at Port Sanibel Marina starting at 1 p.m.
You're not going to have a guy get up there and go, I understand you're all entered in this tournament, but let it be known, I am the captain. I catch all the fish.
Of the boat. What else? Go to 96krock.com. They're going to have a raffle Friday night, captain's dinner, and awards Saturday. Here's the deal. $200 for a team of four, which means $50 a piece.
Yeah, how does the math work out on that?
$50 a piece.
Well, wouldn't the captain have to pay more to be a captain?
Yeah. He should front the whole thing and bring three of his buddies. $3,000 for first place with the heaviest bucket of catfish. Go to 96krock.com right now. Let's play Stan's What's on the List. I've got top 10 things on the list. Let me find my prizes. Here they are.
Oh, we're doing that?
Yes.
I thought you were going to tell me about Teddy Hale.
Oh, no, I'll do that off the air. Nobody cares about Teddy Hale here.
I wanted you to tell me.
About Teddy Hale?
Yeah.
I'll do it later on. Before the end of the show, I'll tell you about Teddy Hale.
All right.
The legend, the myth of Teddy Hale.
Sounds fascinating.
It is. Unbelievable. Play Stan's What's on the List. The 10 most popular things are on this list. I'll give you the category in just a second. I'll take the phone calls cold. Up for grabs if you name something on the list. You could get yourself a bottle of Stan and Haney barbecue sauce. Maybe you'd like $50 to the pewter mug. I've got a pair of tickets to SeaWorld in Orlando. They're celebrating Sesame Street Land now open. My last pair of tickets to see the legendary Alice Cooper at the Barbara B. Mann Performing Arts Hall, Sunday, November 3rd. Our buddy Brian Kilmeade, going to be at the Southwest Florida Event Center on July 19th. You know him, syndicated radio host, best-selling author, and one of the hosts of Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade. You want to go to the Southwest Florida Space Con at the Araba Shrine Event Center this weekend? Got tickets for that. Bam's Restaurant, Subway, and also Sunshine Ace Hardware. Think of something that you want. Have a backup in case one you want is already given. Phones are on lockdown. I'll release the phones after I give you the category. An international survey was done. And they simply asked, what's the greatest invention of all time? There's a lot of inventions that changed our lives. This is not a United States survey. This is an international survey. The greatest invention of all time. If it's in the top 10, and you're the person to identify it, we'll give you a prize. Phone lines are released. 277-9600. According to a recent survey, people all over this world were asked, what is the top invention of all time? I have the top 10. Ahoy, who's this?
Carmelo.
Carmelo, what do you think is in the top 10 of greatest invention of all time?
Television.
Not on the list. No, sir. Not
you
of
said
all time.
All time.
Of all time. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Todd.
Todd, greatest invention of all time?
The computer.
That is... Let me hold on a second. What's your name, Todd?
Todd. Yep.
Todd. Should I give him that?
Why not?
You think I should?
Well, it goes hand in hand. That doesn't exist without that.
I know.
So are you looking for the internet?
Yes, sir. There you go. I'll give it to you. You got it. Number six on the board. What would you like?
I saw Alice Cooper at my first concert in 1978. I'd love to go see him again.
Well, you're gonna. Hold on.
Yes.
Hold on. Nice job. The internet, number six. Keep in mind, these are of all time. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Tim.
Tim, we have the internet at number six. What is the greatest invention of all time?
I'm going to say the automobile.
Not on the list. Not in the top ten.
Can I have one guess?
Yeah, if you want to take a guess, Henny, I'll take one off the board. Go ahead.
The wheel.
Number one.
Thought maybe that might help people to realize all
of
time.
All time.
Yeah.
The number one's the wheel. If you don't have the wheel, you don't have a car. Internet, the wheel. Now I think we're on the right track, huh? Wait till you hear the rest on this
list.
Just
trying to help.
I don't. Well, yeah, I think that helped. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Ahoy, it's Chuck.
Jay, Chuck, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing?
Doing good, buddy. What do you think's on the list?
What do I think is on the list? I got to say, it's got to be the Big Mac.
Nope.
I agree.
I don't disagree either, but it's not there.
Ahoy. But that's more of a subjective thing.
Yes, it is. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Daryl.
Daryl, what do you think's there?
Haney took my guess, but I'm going to go, how about the cotton gin?
Not on the
Should
list.
Should be.
Did not make the top 10. All of these, I'm going to tell you right now, are legitimate, with the exception of one. Realizing that this, and that's why I stressed it, not a U.S. survey, but an international survey.
Of all time.
Yeah, of all time. And there's one where, out of all of these, I would say, are you kidding me? Are you serious? But then you realize it's not just Americans taking part in this survey. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Rose.
Rose, what do you think made the top 10 of greatest inventions of all time?
Electricity.
Electricity was discovered. Electricity has always been...
The ways to harness it were invented.
Not on the list. I'm sorry. Not on the list. Benjamin Franklin did not invent electricity. He discovered electricity.
But learning how to harness it and make it work for us.
That might be several other things, or it might be none in the top 10. Ahoy, who's this?
JR.
Junior, what do you think's on the list?
Airplane?
No.
Pretty impressive.
Not on the list. A lot of people are thinking recent history. Some of that's on there.
That's why I said what I said.
But you got to go across time. A lot of things that we take for granted in today's 21st century society. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Ryan.
Yeah, you know, you got to remember, you know, human beings started out with nothing but, you know, the ground around them, the animals around them.
Yep. Ryan, haven't you won in the last 30 days?
No, sir.
You positive on that?
Positive.
All right, Ryan, what's in the top 10?
How about the light bulb?
Number 8, the light bulb. Not invented by Thomas Edison. We've proven that as fact. What would you like?
I'll take SeaWorld if you got it.
Yeah, we got SeaWorld. Absolutely. Hold on.
And don't get us wrong. Thomas Edison was a genius, but it had nothing to do with inventions.
Yep.
He was a genius at public relations.
Yeah, and marketing and, you know, thievery.
Yep. Misdirection.
Yep. He did that better than anybody. He should be in the history books for those reasons.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The wheel, the internet, the light bulb. 7 more on here. And only a few minutes to win. Ahoy. Ahoy.
Ahoy, gentlemen.
Who's this?
Tyler.
Tyler? Greatest invention of all time.
Compass.
The compass? That's, you know what? That's a good one. Not on the list, though.
This is a stupid survey. They I don't know who they were asking, but that should be on there.
It might have been the number 11, number 12. I don't know. You know, a lot of back in the they do it by the stars.
No, I backed that last caller.
I do, too. That's a great answer. I'm going to tell you another one that did not make the list, and they even pointed out here. Of inventions of all time, and this did not even make it into the top 10, and it should have. The printing press. Being able to mass produce words, books,
ideas.
Newspapers, ideas. Did not make the top 10. Ahoy, who's this?
Josh.
Josh, what do you think's in the top 10?
The wheel.
Already been given. You want to take another guess?
No, I'll try back.
All right. I'll take 2 more calls, and then I'm going to give you the list. Oh, keep in mind, it's done recently, so you're in the 21st century, and it's international. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Glenn.
Glenn, what's in the top 10?
A microwave.
No. One more. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Chris.
Chris, what's in the top 10?
I like to say penicillin.
You would be right. Number 5 on the list. Prevented the infections and deaths of millions. What would you like?
The one thing I'm allergic to.
Sorry. SeaWorld's gone for today. Alice Cooper's gone for today. I got SpaceCon, Brian Kilmeade, Pewter Mug, Babacu Saw, Bam's Restaurant, Subway, and Sunshine Ace Hardware.
I'll take the SpaceCon ticket, please.
You'll take the what?
The Comet.
Oh, absolutely. SpaceCon, it's this weekend. Hold on. Here's the list. Some people say the printing press is the most important invention of all time. Once you could print thousands of copies of a book, more people could read it. So it was the first time you could spread information on a massive scale like that. But it didn't make the list of an international survey of the
Yeah, so they recognize the importance of the internet, but not the printing press.
Yep. And you're going to, again, taking it from today's people being surveyed. Some smart, some not so smart, some Americans, some people from other lands. I'm going to go 1 to 10, because 10 is going to go, what? But I guess if you were somewhere else in the world, it'd be important. Number 1, and Haney tried to get things set straight for you, the wheel. A lot of things wouldn't happen without the invention of the wheel. Number 2, nobody got it. Refrigeration. The ability to cool foods. Number 3. Modern sewage systems. You know, back in the old days, they used to just dump it on out on the street and people were dying left and right. Number 4. The plow. Because it made farming so much easier. These are all, like, super major inventions that you wouldn't be able to do anything if somebody didn't invent this stuff. Number 5, penicillin. Number 6, the internet. Number 7, armor. The ability to build, put armor on and protect yourself. Number 8, the light bulb. Number 9, the clock. And here's the one that sends everything off the rails. And they express it. That the printing press doesn't make it. But if you look at Europe, Great Britain, Ireland, Scotland, number 10, it made it to the top 10. The tea bag. A guy from New York named Thomas Sullivan usually gets credit for inventing the tea bag, and it happened by mistake in 1908. He packaged samples of tea in little silk pouches so that people could try the tea. They didn't understand why they were in silk pouches. People just assumed you were supposed to dip them. And thus, the tea bag was born. Number 10 in an international survey. All the rest are legitimate. We'll check traffic when we come back. News, right, you news know, headlines, 4 o'clock fluffer.
Many things on that list are what I would term as derivative. You have to invent something else first before you ever get to that.
We'll take a break. Stan and Haney, 96
and they surveyed stupid people.
Yep, yep. Well, there were dumb people in that too. Smart and dumb. Which one are you? Huh? Smart or dumb?
An almost Nixonian paranoia displayed prominently and proudly in a public forum. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us Thursday afternoon, about 25 minutes away or so from our question of the week. This is going to start on Monday, kids. 96K Rock has your free tickets to see the Rolling Stones. It's going to happen on Saturday, August 31st, Hard Rock Stadium in Miami.
That's right. We, the Stan and Haney Show welcomes the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, we welcome them. You know what? Get on like a bullhorn, or you got friends around town, and you can get on one of those Mr. Microphones. You can say you welcome the Rolling Stones, too.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to win a copy of the brand new Rolling Stones live DVD, Bridges to Bremen, courtesy of Eagle Rock Entertainment. All DVD winners are instantly eligible to win a pair of tickets to the Stones. Complete details on 96krock.com and the K-Rock mobile app. Again, we'll start things up on Monday for the Stones. Let's get you updated on traffic.
You know, if we welcome the Rolling Stones, I would like for the Rolling Stones to acknowledge us.
Wouldn't that be great?
See, that's different. That's a lot harder to do.
Yep.
We can welcome them.
Sure can.
But they don't know who we are.
Nope. The Rolling Stones, you know, if Keith welcomed us...
Mm-hmm.
That'd be special.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
You know, the Stan and Haney Show welcomes the Rolling Stones. And then the Rolling Stones put out a statement. The Rolling Stones thank Stan and Haney for welcoming them.
All right, I'm with that. I'd like to see that happen.
I think it's only fair.
It is only fair. Traffic, making sure that we're good on sponsorships this half hour. Yeah, we are.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Just one thing on the board. It should be in the clearing stages. Crash, I-75 northbound at Palm Beach Boulevard. Should be clearing there. This came to us probably about, about 45, 50 minutes ago. So hopefully that's taken care of. And you are up to date. Now, coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be the newscast of record with Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney. In case you haven't checked lately, he is the news. What can you expect? Well, he's about ready to tell you, because each and every day at this time, he'll deliver to you the headlines.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
It's finally happened.
What? Oh, my God, what?
After years of waiting, the FBI has finally released their report on Bigfoot. Yes, they looked into it.
Darn right, and the results are shocking. In less than an hour.
I didn't feel right, putting BS like that on the public, but if you do...
The FBI's horrible secret on Bigfoot.
There are a lot of restaurant altercations in the news today. A woman in line at a restaurant calls a gentleman fat. The gentleman says, "Allow me to retort then." And bought all the fried chicken in the restaurant so she couldn't get any.
Attaboy!
A woman was kicked out of the Golden Corral for dressing too provocatively for a buffet-style environment.
Yep, especially leaning over that chocolate fountain.
A few weeks ago, there was a massive rock slide in Colorado, and a giant boulder fell onto Highway 145.
Okay.
They've done the studies, they've done the math, and the state of Colorado has determined they will not move the boulder.
Why?
Cost prohibitive.
Ah.
Instead, they will move the entire highway.
All right. A little detour.
Mm-hmm.
A little clover leaf.
Yep. And finally, you remember those ads where they'd say, don't check them all off?
Yeah.
You know, how do you know when you've hit rock bottom?
Yeah, don't check them all off.
I think this guy may have just checked the last one.
Really?
A man is kicked out of a strip club, fires shots at the bouncers, and then proceeds to wreck his car. All in short order.
Rock bottom.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. Gotta have it. Gotta have laughter. That's why we present to you now the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Jay-Z is hip-hop's first billionaire.
Wow.
That is the level of success that aspiring young rappers hope to achieve.
Yep. Even right here in Lil Pakistan.
Yep.
boop, boop.
You know what that is.
That's the sound of the police.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
reasons your hip-hop career hasn't taken off.
Top reasons why your hip-hop career hasn't taken off. Hmm.
You've only been shot twice.
Yep, that's it. That's it.
Well, this is my problem here. I guess this is where rock and hip-hop meet.
What?
Your last three albums were released exclusively through MySpace.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can throw your hands in the air, and you cannot care.
Yeah.
But you can't seem to do both simultaneously. No. Laugh it off.
That's my problem.
Yeah. You find it hard to rap about feelings of self-doubt and anxiety.
Yeah.
Your rap name is Lil Talent.
I like that one. Lil Talent.
Your last mixtape got horrible, vicious reviews from your grandma.
Yep.
You haven't found anyone to join your posse, despite handing out multiple flyers at your bar mitzvah. Your idea of making it rain is crying at the end of the notebook.
Making it rain.
Your signature song is about how you cannot lie about your appreciation for women with flat, droopy butts. Laugh it up. Your first attempt at rhyming was a song about oranges and went downhill from there.
Try that. Try that.
And finally, the very top reason your hip-hop career hasn't taken off.
Yes.
You're one of those people that only drink cough syrup when you have a cough. And that, my friends, is the environment.
Elvis has left the building.
Email time. Ahoy. At stanandhaney.com.
What?
Ahoy. At stanandhaney.com.
Okay.
This is from Alex. Ahoy, Stan and Haney. It's Alex from North Fort Myers. Heard you talking about all those alligator stories and what we should do to them. Well, here's what I think. We should kill every alligator on the face of the earth, feed them to the sharks, and then kill all the sharks. By the way, the waterman is a horse's ass. Signed, Alex.
Poor waterman.
Yeah.
This goes unsigned. It only reads, to all the liberals who hate America for every stupid reason, I hope you saw the men on the stage in France this morning. These are the men that I hope you will learn from. After watching this, you still hate America? Please check who you are serving. Signed, unknown.
I agree.
I don't know when it became fashionable to be anti-American.
I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Ahoy, gentlemen. Guys, I have been watching the D-Day ceremonies this morning. If you see that and are not moved to tears, you're dead inside. Trump gave a very moving speech, and to see the pictures of all the crosses, listening to some of the survivors, makes you realize that they are truly our greatest generation. Now let's talk about the latest from that saggy face bitch Pelosi. Should have proofread some hot words in here. Yeah, we got Schumer, Nadler, impeachment. Okay. Now she's running her big fat mouth saying she wants to see Trump in prison. You know, they keep talking about impeachment. Okay, show us the proof. They keep taking, and all I hear is blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, never anything. Blah, blah, blah.
Yep. You notice they say nothing about the deep state and their attempt to overthrow an elected president? If they are so interested in the truth, why not one word on the deep state? So Pelosi, Schumer, Nadler, Schiff, and all the rest of those dickweeds, shut the F up. Your time is coming, and it's going to come with a vengeance from the American voters. You a-holes. You guys are the best, sign the Guardian.
Jesus.
He's absolutely right.
I know he is.
And if there is something less than a landslide victory in 2020, I'll be very disappointed, because it's very apparent now.
Yep. Our question of the week is next. You have the right answer. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
4 hours of whatever is going on in their heads. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us. About 30 minutes away from Mark Haney and the news. We're going to present to you our question of the week here in just a second. Then we'll do some traffic. We'll open up the phone lines. There, I'm going to lock them down right now so you can hear the question of the week. Rob, only people that want to answer our question of the week. And we'll take your calls. Today's question of the week, Haney came up with it, and I know exactly what he's talking about. And think about this. You have a budget that you live on. You may have expenses and bills, and car out in the driveway is not running as good as it should. Kids need clothes. You say to yourself, I really want that. I really would like that. Nobody's going to buy it for me. And if you're like me,
you know, all my life I've wanted.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're like me, when you do something like that, you get a little buyer's remorse. Should I have done that? And then you realize once you get through that, you can go and appreciate something.
Because then you can go, well, the damage is done.
Damage is done. As my girlfriend likes to say, because she'll see me and I'll be like, oh man, I'd like to get that. Mm-hmm. But I don't need it. And she says, do you like it? Do you want that? But I don't need it. But do you like it? Do you want it? Here's our question of the week. As Haney said, we're not talking about a cup of coffee here.
It's when you pull that trigger, you realize, you know, we're not going to be around forever.
Yeah, it's an exact the way you're pulling the trigger. I'm getting it. What's the last?
You probably thought about it for a while and tried to talk yourself out of it.
What's the last really nice thing you treated yourself to? Damn it, I'm going to buy it.
F it.
Oh, it'll just be a few. I'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else is going to. What's the last really nice thing you treated yourself to? 277-9600. We'll take your phone calls. That's our question of the week. We all go through it. Do you have the willpower to say, I don't need that?
Well, we do that a lot.
Yep. But every once in a while,
something slips through.
And you pull the trigger on it. I'm getting it.
And you know what? Maybe you do regret it later, but you did it.
Yep. What's the last nice thing you treated yourself to? And we're not talking about a cup of coffee. We'll take your calls, 277-9600. Let's get a quick look at traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Our traffic report says that there's nothing that has happened in the last hour and a half. I also went to various news sites for local traffic, all not reporting anything. So I'm going to say, since the last thing that happened an hour and a half ago, all clear in Southwest Florida, unless you prove me wrong with a road watcher report. So there you go.
Oh, there's something out there.
There's something.
We just don't know about it.
277-9600. You pulled the trigger on it. Nobody else was going to get it for you. What was the last really nice thing you treated yourself to? Maybe it's that pool in the backyard. You know, we get a great deal on the pool. I mean,
if we don't do it now,
we're never going to do it. You know, I've had a damn family van now for 10 years. I want the sports car.
You've done that.
I've done it. I bought a Corvette and then threw it away.
Mm-hmm.
It broke.
What a disaster.
Yep, total.
Now, that's something, knowing what you know now, you never would have done it.
Not the way I did it, but I'll do it again.
You're a daredevil.
Yeah. For me, recently, I won't go into details about it, but I bought a piece of art. A oil on canvas.
And when you told me that you did it, I'll be honest with you, because it wasn't cheap, I thought you're out of your effing mind. But then you showed it to me,
yeah,
and I'm like, yeah, I can see it.
Yeah, it's something that, maybe one day goes into a museum. But I bought a piece of art. Oil on canvas by a famous artist.
You took a flyer.
I took a flyer. You never know.
But you know what? What made me okay with it wasn't that. It was that it's something that you like,
yep,
that's beautiful, that,
yep,
you're going to see every day.
Yep. And
it's worthy.
And I pulled the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? I know yours, too.
I will be completely honest. I have too many guitars.
Yeah, but you're a guitar player.
But there is one specific type of guitar that I really wanted when I was in my teens and early 20s, and just talked myself out of it, because the guitars that I ended up with that I played on the biggest stages with, I played in the bars with them, they were what I needed.
Right.
And it never made sense. And I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know what? It's not that much. It's not cheap, but it's not that much. And I have always wanted this. Why don't I do it?
You did it. You did it.
And I managed to get some easy payments.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
And I'm very pleased that I did it.
You still got the guitar I gave you?
Yeah.
That's a nice one,
too. I have never, ever sold any guitar. I've got my very first guitar.
You got a lot. Is somebody on the hotline wants to answer this? Let's find out. They're on hold. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, Stan, what's up?
Hey, who's this?
D-Train.
Oh, hey.
Hey, what's up,
hey,
buddy?
Hey, pal, how are you?
No, I'm good. I'm fresh back from Texas and just moving on.
Okay, you want to answer our question of the week?
Sure. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we were having the big weather event and they shut down the Skyway Bridge, I found myself driving to Largo, Florida for a reproduction 1940s Coca-Cola ice chest, full retail size.
Oh,
wow. Added to my collection. Yeah, the company that actually makes it is called American Repo. They no longer make it, so the fact that it's reproduction really doesn't matter too much because they're discontinued, so they'll grow in value, and actually got it for a third of what they retailed for.
Oh, yeah. When you find a deal, it's very hard. Very hard to resist.
And I know you and Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I've been getting yelled at for too much Coca-Cola stuff, but it all has value to it.
So you did that 2 or 3 weeks ago. How long were you contemplating it?
I found it on Facebook Marketplace. Literally, the price was like insanely cheap. The person was just trying to move it. I did some quick research, found what this thing used to retail for $750. I got it for way, way, way less than that.
And
they made two models, one with a compressor refrigeration and one was just the ice chest. This one was just the ice chest, so I never had to worry about the refrigerant going bad on
it. So you pulled the trigger fast.
Yeah, and as soon as I got off the Skyway Bridge to get in Largo, they shut it down because that was right before Easter when they had the heavy winds up there. And so I was actually driving in that rainstorm to go pick this thing up in Largo.
But good for you, man.
Come by and see us soon.
Yeah, I'll try to swing by tomorrow.
All right, brother. There he goes, D-Train. What was the last really nice thing you treated yourself to? You know what? I deserve it. I can't afford it. But I deserve it, and it brings me joy.
Well, like I said, mine was something that's been eating at me for years. Because it's a total luxury purchase.
Yep.
I don't need this.
Nope. Let's go to the phones. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. This is JD.
JD, what was that really nice thing you treated yourself to?
2015 Polaris 570 Sportsman, four-wheeler. Brand new.
Oh, yeah. And how long were you just letting that swirl in your head for?
Oh, my buddy kind of talked me into it. He found one that he was going to go buy, and then before you know it, I'm down there, as Haney said, getting good financing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then work slows down a little bit. Then you're freaking out like, oh, what did I do that for?
Yeah.
But now it's paid for, and last year we went up to West Virginia and rode the Hatfield McCoy Trails, rode 300 miles off-road.
Amen, brother.
Where do you normally take it?
I've been out to the Yacht Club a few times, so that place is kind of scary. I go out to Lazy Springs out there by Lehigh, up the Florida Tracks and Trails, but we bought it primarily to go out trail riding somewhere, so we're going to plan another trip here soon.
I haven't done that, but that looks like so much fun.
It looks like a blast. 277-9600. Question of the week. What's the last nice thing, really nice thing you treated yourself to? Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen, it's Eric.
Eric, what was it?
Well, I've been wanting this for about 10 years, and me and my wife, we were having our second daughter, so I couldn't do it. So now, about 2 months ago, I said, you know what, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. We were having our fifth daughter. So I went and I got me my motorcycle, and I knew it. If I didn't do it at that time, you know, with my fifth baby coming, I was never going to do it.
So you
good
did
for
it.
You.
You did it. Good
yeah,
for you.
I went and I got me my motorcycle, and my wife is super mad at me, but I really
277-9600.
That's the thing, you know. Most of us are not John D. Rockefeller.
No.
So timing is everything.
Yep. And you sit there and you see something, and it just stirs around in you. I cannot. No. I think I can swing it. I'm going to do it.
But who knows what these things lead to?
Yep, you don't know.
The guy talking about his ATV there has, you know, 300 miles in West Virginia with his buddy. That's, you can't put a price tag on that.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, boys, it's Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
How are you guys?
Doing good, sweetheart. I know there's something that you treated yourself to.
Oh, you can't even imagine. About a year ago, I went out and bought myself with cash a 20-foot Coleman camper brand new.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
I haven't, we've only taken it to Estero twice because Mark's had a couple surgeries last year.
Right.
And next week we are leaving for a 16-day trip to go up through the Carolinas, visit cousins there, go to Virginia, and then we're taking it up to an awesome mountaintop in West Virginia for a weekend.
Oh,
for
that's
family
awesome.
Reunion.
And isn't it, and here's the thing, you go and you say to yourself, I'm going to pull the trigger. What joy that is going to give you.
Oh, it's going to be so great because I can, work from anywhere now. So I can just pop up to a campground wherever I want. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Oh, and speaking of which, I'm sorry. I'm slow as molasses, but I will
I know. I'm just waiting for an email back. That's all I need.
All right. I love you.
Bye, love
Sarah.
You guys, too.
Love
hey,
you.
And listen, I wanted to just let y'all know that and let your listeners know that I have found this really nifty little loophole to the health care penalty.
Oh, really?
So if anybody hasn't filed their taxes yet, 16, 17, 18, because I'm finding people haven't filed for years because they're freaked out they're going to have to pay the penalty.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Dear President Trump put a little loophole in the
Nice.
Now, let me say this. If anybody, if that tweaked anybody's interest, this is our accountant, by the way. Contact the radio station, and off the air, we'll give you Sarah's number so that you can get in touch with her. She can educate you a little bit. She's the best. Sarah, thank you.
All right. Thank you, boys. Hope to see you at a show soon.
Bye-bye. Good for her.
You got a lovely family, too.
Yep. 277-9600.
I'm glad they're going to get to have that little adventure.
You know, you pulled the trigger on it. You're going to treat yourself. What's the last nice thing you treated yourself to? Yeah, maybe a little buyer's remorse. Maybe you got a easy payments. Yeah, I'm doing it. Now's the time.
I am so tight-fisted about stuff like that. It's very rare that I do that.
Here we go. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Brad of Estero.
Hey, Brad, what is it?
A lot of people might not know what these are, but I got myself a pair of Bowers & Wilkins Nautilus Towers. And the Macintosh amplifiers to back them up. I've got a room specified just for the two speakers.
Now, what are they?
They're very, very high-end audio files.
Macintosh is like the biggest of the big high-end stuff. I get emails for their turntables and their receivers and their speakers, and they are like, okay, well, what should a turntable be? It should be no more than this. And then you see that, oh, my God, it's that much?
No,
that's
Stan.
Stack full of amplifiers.
No, Stan.
Power these two speakers.
No, Stan. That's for the replacement needle.
Yes. Yeah. Wow. Good purchase, buddy. Good purchase. Yeah. That whole Macintosh stuff. It's gorgeous, and it's the best.
See, I don't even want to know about that.
Oh, it bothers me every time I see that stuff. And you're right. That's just for the replacement needle on the turntable. Oh my goodness. 277-9600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Bob in Naples. How you guys doing?
Doing good, Bob. What was that last nice thing? You know what? You're going to treat yourself, and you're gonna pull the trigger on it. What was it?
Well, actually, it was a necessity. I needed a new vehicle. I was in carpentry at the time down here in Naples, and my wife and I kind of hit the lotto a little bit, so I bought myself a 2007 4Runner.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice. And so you use it for work.
Oh, yeah, I did. I had that thing loaded up.
So that affects your life every day.
Yeah, because it was bringing in more money.
There you go.
That was one of the best things. Haney, I've got my grandfather's 1938 to 1942 flat top Tiger Stripe guitar.
Oh, that sounds like a beaut.
Yeah, and it sounds like it was the day that it was made. I don't play. I blow blues harps, but yeah. My brother plays it, and it's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know, especially going back to the 30s, you know, and it's the same way with those guitars from the 50s and early 60s. They made stuff to last then. Things now are meant to be thrown away.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. I've still got the original case, and my grandfather's pick, and yeah, it's a nice piece of musical instrument.
It sounds like a very nice musical instrument, but also, you know, that connection to your grandfather is something you can't buy.
Yep. Thank you, buddy. 277. That's why I got my grandfather's guitar. I don't know how to play it, but I got it. I also have his...
What was it that got stolen?
His... Fender Hawaiian Steel guitar.
Oh, man. I wish you had that.
That was...
That could have been the key to everything for you.
Yep. And that was from the 40s.
Like a slack key.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't want to even talk about it. But I still have his harmonica, too. His old Horner harmonica still in the case from back in the day. And his guitar. Ahoy, who's this?
Bring that in sometime.
I had, you know, ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan and Haney.
Yeah, hi, what's your name?
Hey, Jay here.
Hey, Jay, what's the last really nice thing you treated yourself to?
Well, I promised myself I'd never buy another boat, and guess what? 3 years ago.
You bought a boat.
I bought a boat, but I have never regretted it. My grandchildren have had a ball.
What kind of boat, if you don't mind me asking?
20-foot Aquasport with a 150 Evan roof.
Nice and perfect.
Now, what I want to know is the boat before that that made you swear off boats.
Yeah.
You don't want to know.
See you, buddy.
You know, I owned a boat.
Yeah, you did. Do you know that when the waterman and Stephen and I went fishing, that came up? And it came up because Dave caught himself. Because Stephen was talking about, you know, maybe one day, you know, I love the boat that I have. Maybe one day, you know what? You get one of them, I'll fix it up for you. I said,
He didn't.
Yeah, but he caught himself.
And he knew exactly when he made eye contact with you, didn't he?
Yep. Well, maybe you're right. I have brought that guitar.
Especially where you were.
My grandfather, one of the salespeople had a music store that actually cleaned it up for me and put the new strings on it.
Yeah, but I've never seen it.
I'll bring it in. It's a rare one, too, because now you know guitars.
It's a Dan Electro convertible.
And he bought it when it first came out. And I think it was like 1958, 59 is when the guitar came out. And they had a little problem with, I guess, where the strings, the metal cover, where the strings go underneath, that there was only one bracket holding it the first year it came out. The second year they used two brackets or two screws to hold it down. And the rare one is the first year with the one screw, and that's the one I have. And I guess it's rare. And they went and had it all nice and cleaned up for me, and it's nice.
You know what? Maybe one day I'll bring my new hot rod in and show it to you.
Yeah! We're out of time.
That's a good one. We could have kept going on that one.
I know. If you'd like to answer our question of the week, ahoy at stanandhaney.com. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're Stan and Haney, 96K Rock.
Remember years ago when we told you about that woman who made her own shrimp standing over a bucket? Well, it's all true. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Mark Haney in the news coming up. We do have an updated traffic report for you. Somebody at Traffic Central was evidently taking a nap.
It happens frequently.
Yeah. Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock as well, so make a note of that. He'll take you through your evening. You know, I've seen this happen before, and I don't appreciate it, but people texting, and I'm going to read a text, and I understand it was a mistake. When you don't spell check and the phone assumes the name that you want, it'll replace it with the name that it thinks you want. And it seems that every time somebody puts in Stan in a text, it thinks you mean Satan.
Well, and it's happened in other ways too, where you've gotten letters to Stanta.
Yep. I will give the corrected one, and the texter did correct it. And I almost cringe at reading this text because it's going to get Haney's head a swirling.
Oh, no.
No, not swirling in that way.
That's not good for anybody.
You guys should do a video game review segment once a month with your guys' chemistry and Stan's love of video games. You could make millions. Love you guys. Signed, Aunt Anthony. No. The answer is no. No.
With your love of video games?
Yeah, sarcastically. Because I'm sorry. I couldn't sit through listening to a review of
video games.
Well, Beasley disagrees. They put a lot of money into it, but they never asked me.
Into what?
They got this whole video game division.
Video, not video game division.
Yeah, they do.
Hold it. Beasley has a video game division.
Yeah, and they never once asked me.
About what?
About video games.
Who's asking you about what video game
They've
thing?
Got a whole video game division where it's a video game radio.
What?
And they never once mentioned it to me.
Is it, what is it, a podcast?
I don't know what it is.
I think you're looking at it wrong.
No, I'm not.
Is it somebody that does a podcast
for
another?
They have a whole division devoted to video games.
I don't know if you're joking or...
I am not joking. You know how this company... We don't find out what they're up to.
Until it's too late.
Yeah. No, they I'll see if I can find it.
And you would be glad to do...
I didn't say I'd be glad to do, because there'd probably be no money in it for me.
Of course not!
But they'll throw money at other people.
They always do! Let's get you updated on traffic.
I'm trying to find what the name of it is.
You know, I wouldn't be a part of that anyways. I don't want to be a part of Beasley's video game. Beasley's video game? A radio show about video games.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it based out of?
I don't know. I'm trying to find it. Oh, look at that. They gave Budman a big plug.
Of course they did.
Oh, there's Caroline. Hey, Caroline.
Yeah.
I very rarely look at our website.
Well, it's just going to get you mad.
I'm already mad.
Beasley does this. Beasley does that. Beasley inducts, Steve and Fred out in some city that I've never heard of, that they go in the Radio Hall of Fame.
They got a million radio stations, and we're on one of them.
I know!
Let's see. I think I might have found it.
Oh, jeez.
Checkpoint XP. Esports and gaming. Your home for esports and gaming.
Where is that? Is it a streaming? Is it a podcast? Is it?
It's all of that. Look, come here.
I know that they.
Because you doubt me on everything.
No, I'm not doubting you. I see it. What this is here. Is they encourage their talent at stations from around the country, because they have a lot of radio stations. We're on one of them. They go and say, hey, why don't you do something? Put it up on the internet. Yeah, there's your guys. You wouldn't get along with any of them.
I'll tell you right now, I'd kick their ass.
You'll see, you want to go and confront them.
No, why would I? You're right.
Come on.
Why do I react that way to things?
All right, Rob, I don't need to see the whole running video of the damn thing. It's just making me mad.
But you didn't believe me.
Wait a second.
This isn't even about them now. You just didn't believe it existed.
What is that? What's the grid? What is that? All the stations they're
on? The syndication list.
Oh, for Pete's sake!
Yeah.
Wait a second. They're on all these stations? Yes. It's a Beasley.
Yeah. Beasley owns them.
You know how many stations we're on? One.
And barely that.
All right. See, don't go on the website.
We air them locally on.
That's your advice.
ESPN, yeah. Saturdays at 5 a.m.
Don't. But,
you know how much money they put into this?
A lot, millions. What?
We air them locally on 99.3 ESPN Saturdays at 5 a.m. Eastern time.
What? What the hell? You would be perfect for that. Well, you'd fight them.
And I think that's what would make it. Hey, you with the purple hair. Shut up.
Yep. Yeah, you were. Yeah, you. It's.
Oh, what do you know about it, old man? I'll tell you how to kill a horn, you punk.
It's supposed to be about fun.
Yeah.
That's why we could never play board games at our house.
Yeah,
when we
you're
were
walking in there with your Chicago chopper like your cock of the walk. Okay, well, guess what? That horn will kill you. I'm up here with the napalm and the attractors using a little something called stealth.
And you know, every one of those guys on there are politically correct.
Yep.
And some of them would be classified as androgynous.
Yep. Gender fluid.
And you couldn't work with them. You couldn't work with them.
That would make for the greatest entertainment.
And they're like on 500 stations.
See, you don't believe me when I tell you things.
Look, all right.
I don't even care about this anymore. I care about the fact that you don't believe me when I tell you that they're spending millions of dollars on this.
You come out and say the Beasleys are on some video game radio. I never heard of that.
Yeah, that's where their money's going.
Really?
I just showed you. I had to prove it to you because you wouldn't take my effing word for it.
They got
to
be making some big money. They're putting it everywhere. Where are you going to put it next? K-Rock in the afternoon?
Oh, and I see you've gone too far.
How do you figure?
Now we're going to be in a meeting.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Sorry about that, folks.
Now you've done it.
I'm sorry. I personally would not tune in to some video radio.
What would you do if someone offered you a lot of money to talk about video games?
I'd learn it.
Yes, you would.
I'd learn it damn fast.
And I'd be right there with you, pal. And I'd pull you right along.
And on the air, you'd think I'm passionate about it.
Yeah.
Lehigh Acres crash, Sunshine Boulevard North and Lee Boulevard. Why am I? I'm giving the traffic report angry.
Yeah. Just think, a moment ago you were fat and happy and didn't know any better.
Yep.
No, the world moves on without us, friend.
Always has.
We got to scratch and claw, and we got to know what they're up to. Think about how many times you've been sitting around being harangued by our market manager when you could have come back with that.
Yep, something's not right. Something's not right. Something is not right!
And it's all because you don't believe me.
It's not a question of I don't believe you. I couldn't believe that they would do something like that to me.
Of course you couldn't.
Yeah.
Of course you couldn't. It's not your fault, Stan.
Fort Myers crash, the 11,000 block of South Cleveland Avenue, right by Patio Closet.
So just remember that the next time we need to tighten our belts.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we got to tighten our belts around here.
And I know all about it.
Like the gravy train days.
I know all about it, and they start this new venture and don't even ask me about it.
Didn't even ask you. I'm at a loss for words.
The Star Boy knows all about it.
Adam Star?
Yeah.
He knows all about it?
Yeah, because I figured out. It was a while back, he was asking me odd questions about video games.
Yeah.
And I would answer him and go, why is he asking me questions?
I thought they were thinking about doing some little contest or something.
Well, he was asking me all of these odd questions about video games. And I thought, why is he doing that? And then I went on the interwebs and found out why.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a whole, like, big deal.
Oh, yeah. A lot of investment.
Millions. I didn't know. Really?
Yeah. 500 effing stations.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The list is like a grid.
Like a baby's arm.
Yeah. Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news. And it starts right now. Jeez. Unbelievable.
This is a news report.
Yeah, I bet it is.
The American people want to know the important issues and events of our day. What makes them important and why?
See, and that you're always mocking me.
Only from an objective presentation of
nobody life. Cares about your
we
video
all
games.
Need to understand the world in which we live.
I don't.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, June 6th.
Double M-X-I-X.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. You just blew your mind, didn't I?
Yeah. You know, I could learn to love video games. I can learn.
Yeah. Well, you need a little help, though, with your fat fingers, so we'd have to play co-op and I'll cover you.
Well, then I can go and talk about Tetris and Duke Nukem.
Yeah, what I'd need you to do basically is be cannon fodder for me. And what I'll do is not if, but when you get shot and killed, I will take care of the enemy. Then I'll come back and res you.
Yeah, I don't even know what you're
talking
about.
And what I'll do is I'll tell you, Stan, you see that rock over there?
Yeah.
Go behind it and squat and be perfectly still.
Yeah.
I'll take care of the rest.
Okay. Whatever. I'll take your word for it. I don't know.
And if I yell, res me,
you
come running and try not to get killed.
Res me. Well, what the?
See, you're always mocking me.
I'm not mocking you.
You know?
Go do what you want
and,
to do.
And past week alone, told me that I'm a fool for ever taking up the guitar because nobody cares about it.
When did I ever say that?
You said nobody cares. They want to edit out all the lead guitar.
Well, that's true.
Nobody cares about guitars. Nobody cares about video games. Yeah, what you're telling me is nobody cares about you, Haney. Nobody. And then this latest crap of you referring to me as your employee.
Look! Jeez. My head's about to explode.
I don't know what you're up to,
well,
man.
You're up to a break.
I am.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
In a moment.
Visit Jason and Todd at the Diamond District.
The Diamond District sells more diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida. Therefore, they buy more diamonds than any other jeweler as well. This season has been extremely successful for Jason and Todd, and they're currently buying diamonds at a rapid pace to replace inventory. If you've ever thought of selling your diamonds or trading in on something new, now is the perfect time to visit the Diamond District in Estero at Coconut Point. Diamonds and jewelry can be rare pieces and command very high prices when evaluated by experienced and qualified professionals. The Diamond District has several GIA graduate gemologists and buyers on staff every day to help identify your treasures. The Diamond District has the largest selection of Forevermark and GIA loose certified diamonds, all priced at wholesale, below what you'll find online. Your diamonds and jewelry could be worth lots of money and should be evaluated by an expert. Visit Jason and Todd and discover why more people choose the Diamond District when selling or trading their diamonds than any other jeweler in Southwest Florida.
At the Diamond District.
And now, back to Haney's News
on the Stan and Haney Show.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, we now join our regular programming already in progress.
Jeez.
A man named Frederico Hill lives in Indonesia, and something happened to him recently so disturbing he felt the need to tell the world about it by posting it on the F-book. Mr. Hill was in line at a fried chicken restaurant last week when he couldn't help but overhear the woman behind him talking to her children. She told her children they should only eat one piece of fried chicken or they'd wind up, quote, fat like the man in front of them. You don't want to end up like that, do you, kids? So, Mr. Hill, cool.
Fat ass.
Fatty Hill. He didn't do anything to the woman. Didn't tell her he didn't appreciate her comment. No, he was cool as a cucumber. He handled the situation this way. She's behind him in the line with all of her kids.
Yeah.
He gets to the counter and informs the person taking his order that he would like to purchase every piece of fried chicken in the effing restaurant.
Love it.
And he was ready to back it up, no matter what it cost. As it turns out, it only cost him $17.
Really? That's all they had?
Yep. He walked out with 15 pieces of chicken as the clerk informed the woman she would be waiting for 30 minutes or more for them to cook additional fried chicken.
Love it.
Call me fat. All right.
I'll take it all.
Mm-hmm. There is a woman named Suerette Emke in Erie, Pennsylvania, and she recently had a less than positive experience at her local Golden Corral buffet when the management showed her the door, kicked her out. Why was Suerette kicked out of the Golden Corral?
Why?
The manager informed her she was dressed too provocatively and that other customers at the buffet complained that it was interfering with them eating.
Oh, yeah. Kick her out. I'm looking at her. Kick her out. Kick her out. Kick her
Don't
out.
Speak too soon.
Why? What do you mean? I'm sorry. That would disturb my dinner.
You don't know her.
What do I? How, I don't?
Now, the reason you see that picture is that she took a selfie to demonstrate what she was wearing.
Yes.
And what she is wearing is a crop top that shows plenty of cleavage and a little bit of her stomach and some cut-off denim shorts.
Yes.
Suerette wrote on Facebook, she thinks people had an issue with the small amount of her stomach visible because she's, quote, not thin.
You don't say.
She doesn't understand the issue because it's not sexy.
I'm sorry. I'm at wit's end right now.
Let her eat.
I would like to eat too.
Well, an issue this hot obviously had to go upstairs to the replay booth.
Of course.
And at that point, the big guns got involved. That's right. The Golden Corral regional manager had to rule on this.
And the verdict?
He issued a formal apology to Suerette and her whole family. Never should have happened.
Come on.
And here's a $10 coupon.
Oh, please. You know what? Don't go into the restaurant looking like that.
It's the Golden Corral.
You know, they take pride in there. I have a buddy. You know what? This is kind of historic. He was the...
Are you exaggerating at all when you call this historic?
Yeah, from Stan Historic. He was the one that gave me my first radio job. He was the one that took me down to the radio station when the live bluegrass band was in there and asked, can we have an announcer? And he said, go ahead and do it. And he, this was 34 years ago, he went on to become a local manager of the of a Golden Corral somewhere.
Your radio godfather.
Yeah.
Went on to success.
Let's put it this way.
The manager of the Golden Corral.
Radio wasn't for him. He thought for a while it was, but it wasn't. You know what? I don't like to call out people. He had a hair lip.
I'll tell you right now.
And it affected his speech.
I don't think either one of us could manage a Golden Corral.
He went and became a manager of a Golden Corral. He is now one of the top guys at Golden Corral. He's the one that now goes and gives the green light to all the new Golden Corral openings around the country. He and his team go to the new Golden Corrals that they open to make sure they're up to their standards.
When's the last time you talked to him?
Yeah, he's a friend of mine on Facebook. He wished me a happy birthday in March and then posted a bunch of new pictures of the new grand opening in Cedar Rapids.
Well, then we should never pay for anything at a Golden Corral. We should have some sort of special card.
But I'm not a regular to Golden Corral. The only thing that intrigues me is that chocolate fountain.
So if you're not even a regular, why are you besmirching this woman?
There's one of the reasons I'm not.
Well, she's a regular customer.
Yes, she is. Sometimes 3-4 times a week.
Ever since she was a young girl.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative Reports. For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill.
Jesus. Today of all days.
You remember that commercial? It was about drug abuse where it said, don't check them all off.
Yeah.
Because it was supposedly they didn't want you to hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know when you've hit rock bottom?
I've been told that you know, but sometimes you don't think you have.
Yeah. It can be different for everyone, but.
Sure. That's the same thing. What's your rock bottom?
I believe a man in North Carolina on Tuesday night hit rock bottom, and there were multiple witnesses.
Okay. Rob, take that picture of that corral fatty off. I can't take it.
Take it off, save it, enlarge it, and make it your screensaver.
No! No!
The night started out pretty good. He went into a strip club in Charlotte, North Carolina on Tuesday night.
All right.
And for a while, life was good.
Yeah.
Until it reached a point that he was kicked out of the strip club.
Oh.
And didn't go quietly. He was involved in a fist fight with the bouncers. And if only it had ended there.
But it doesn't.
He went to his car, very angry, displayed this anger, crashing into another car in the parking lot. If only it ended there.
It doesn't.
Then he began shooting at the strip club employees as he drove off. Fortunately, his shots missed, and he drove off. If only it ended there.
It doesn't?
Police located him shortly after that in his horribly crashed car. He was taken to the hospital, and if he recovers his senses, he'll be facing many charges.
Oh, jeez.
At many points, the damage could have been mitigated.
Yeah!
And that's the news for today.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond District bringing us news this afternoon.
You know they got some kind of Golden Corral card where they know not to charge you.
Yeah, I know. Like it's a special card. You just wave it at them at the register.
Yeah, it's like you're an honorary deputy.
Yeah.
Only like you're an honorary Golden Corral inspector.
Yep. And they see it right at the cash register. Because I think you pay at the Golden Corral first. You walk in.
Oh, you have to, yeah.
You pay up front.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and sit down, and then you have the buffet.
And how glorious would it be if you just flipped a badge or something?
Do you want me to message him tonight and tell him we want a couple of lifetime cards to Golden Corral?
Yes.
All right, I'll do it. We'll see what he says. Something tells me he's going to say no.
Why? He got you started in radio.
He did.
Maybe he feels like he's done enough.
Yeah,
women are crazy.
except you, darling. That's right. Just you. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Rob Show coming up at 6 o'clock. Just enough time to get you updated on traffic for your drive home this afternoon.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Yep. Let's see. One thing on the board. Lehigh Acres got a crash. The 2700 block of Lee Boulevard, right by the Popeye's fried chicken.
Oh, man, that sounds good.
Now, that sounds good. Yeah. Too far for me to drive, and I won't be out of there Lehigh Acres by sunset, and that's trouble.
Too late in the day.
Yup. Let's laugh.
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96K-Rock.
Then the baby comes, and that's a little thing, a little one-year-old thing walking around, that little angel face starting to talk now. And just, Daddy! Yeah, then you're never cheating. Not until they turn teenagers. It's true, that little face. Ah! It's amazing. It really is. It just, I've never fallen in love with somebody so to me. She's very tough. She's ruining my life. And I love her so much. She just turned one, had a little party for her. One-year-old's birthday party. Why? Why? She didn't even know it was Saturday. Cost me like $1,000. Why are we even giving presents to this person? She just wants to eat the wrapping paper. But you gotta give her something. You look like a jerk in front of all the other adults, you know? We got her a flat-screen plasma TV. She's very happy. I love her. I think I'm just going to have one kid, though. I think that's the way to go. One. Because you have more than one, then you got to decide which one you like better. That's always me. Oh, it's true. Your parents lie about it. Oh, we like them all the same. No, you don't. You love them all, of course. But there's always that one kid, you know, if he got lost. You'll look for him. But not right away. You're going to let some time go before you put your shoes on again.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we're back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. We are the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock, and we leave you this afternoon with this.
Did you see the footage of that Arizona hiker having to be helicoptered out?
No, not that one. I don't think so.
And they had him on the stretcher, and they're hoisting him up on the helicopter, and the thing starts spinning. Oh my God. He was 74 years old, a hiker, 74.
He was. he was 74.
He is. This happened on Tuesday. On the way up, the stretcher, it's a she, a 74-year-old she. On the way up, she...
Well, she's got no... What's she doing up there anyway?
She started spinning. Look at the footage here. This is amazing. So they're trying to lift her, and then hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
With turbulence, she was spinning 175 times in a couple of minutes. And they thought for sure she was going to pass out.
Oh, got the spin. I got to let it back down. Try to get that under control. That's not good.
Definitely passed out by now.
Uh-oh. They're going to try to... Oh, there you go. They're going to slow that down. They're just going to fly off with them and go to the LZ. I hate to see that. Oh, my gosh. That's not good.
Look.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm not talking about just turning a little bit.
No,
I'm talking
she's pulling G's.
A propeller spin, and she's 74.
She's spinning faster than the propeller on the helicopter. She's spinning faster than the rotors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they just took her away.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Let's just get her there quick. Yeah.
Leave me on the ground.
Oh, got the spin. I got to let him back down and try to get that under control. That's not good.
Oh,
definitely
not good.
Passed out by now. They're going to try to... There you go. Let's slow that down.
Are you?
We're just going to fly off with them and go to the LZ.
Are you
going to
slow it down?
I hate to see that. Oh, my gosh.
Are you slowing it down? Are you?
Well,
she was pulling G's.
I know that. They thought for sure she had passed out.
I mean, I would love to see a measurement.
She's finally getting to the crew, the ambulance crew.
Oh, she's still spinning in her head.
Oh, you know it.
I wonder if there's a way they can figure out how many G's she pulled.
Well, all I know is they said that they were talking that it was 175 times she spun around in a couple of minutes.
Well, it's not the number. It's
the force.
The intensity.
Yes. Laughter. Gotta have it. Gotta have laughter. That's why we present to you now the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan?
Everyone?
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies.
Jay-Z is hip-hop's first billionaire.
Wow.
That is the level of success that aspiring young rappers hope to achieve.
Yep. Even right here in little Pakistan.
Yep.
Boop, boop.
You know what that is.
That's the sound of the police.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
reasons your hip-hop career hasn't taken off.
Top reasons why your hip-hop career hasn't taken off.
You've only been shot twice.
Yep, that's it. That's it.
Well, this is my problem here on... I guess this is where rock and hip-hop meet.
What?
Your last three albums were released exclusively through MySpace.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
You can throw your hands in the air, and you cannot care.
Yeah.
But you can't seem to do both simultaneously. Laugh it up.
That's my problem.
Yeah. You find it hard to rap about feelings of self-doubt and anxiety.
Yeah.
Your rap name is Lil Talent.
I like that one. Lil Talent.
Your last mixtape got horrible, vicious reviews.
Oh.
From your grandma.
Yep.
You haven't found anyone to join your posse, despite handing out multiple flyers at your bar mitzvah. Your idea of making it rain is crying at the end of the notebook.
Making it rain.
Your signature song is about how you cannot lie about your appreciation for women with flat, droopy butts. Laugh it up. Your first attempt at rhyming was a song about oranges and went downhill from there.
Try that. Try that.
And finally, the very top reason your hip-hop career hasn't taken off.
Yes?
You're one of those people that only drink cough syrup when you have a cough. And that, my friends, is the far
Elvis has left the building.
Blue skies.
Yeah.
Every day is a gift.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.